Morning, everyone. I shall try and control my cough, but if I do cough, we've got a wonderful editor who can cut it out. But one thing we need not to get disrupted is the Word of God. So let's just come to Him in prayer before we start. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I pray that You'll open our hearts and our ears to hear what it is You've got to say to each one of us today, Lord, through Your message, through Your Word. And Lord, let us take what You've got to say to each one of us and to use to help us to grow into the people that You would have us be. Because as my old friend Jeremiah says, You've got plans to prosper us and not to harm us. Plans to give us hope and a future. But Lord, we've got to listen to what You've got to say to us, and we've got to follow Your teachings if we are to get and make the potential that You have set for us. So Lord, I just pray You'd be with me now. Take away all distractions and enable me to deliver Your message in Your power and with Your authority. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Right, I've entitled this morning's message, Know God's Will. It's important that we know God's will, as Jeremiah told us. We know what His plans are for us, but they'll only work if we remain in His will. And the reading that the Lord gave me was from Romans 12, and it's 1 through 2:21. And it reads, Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many parts, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is to give, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with each other. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, It is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Well, there's a lot in that passage for us to take in. So before we look into it, let's just come again to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage from Paul. Lord, we thank you for your word and your servants who have spread your word. And this apostle of yours, Lord, is responsible for the largest part of the New Testament. But Lord, we know that it's all inspired by you. So Lord, we need inspiration from you this morning. Feed us from this and let us just see what it is you're saying to each of us. And let us apply it, Lord, so that we can grow day by day to become more like your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. As I said, in this message from Paul, it couldn't be any clearer that once we have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, then, and only then, is when our Christian walk really begins. And he advises us that we need to recognize the gifts that each one of us has been given by the Holy Spirit once we've accepted him. And these gifts are given for a purpose. They're given to enable us to grow more and more into the likeness of his Son and stronger in our spiritual faith. It's important that we note that none of us are the complete article, that we need to rely on each other. You know, there's one thing that always, you just go back to Genesis. God knew, he created Adam, and he knew he was alone. Adam was all on his own. He needed a mate. So he made Eve out of the rib. So we're not meant to operate individually. We all need to be part of the body. Matthew 18:20, Jesus himself tells us, "For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them." Again, he wants us to meet together. Other scriptures tell us we must not forget to meet together as others tend to do. So it's important that we stay in the fire to maintain our temperature, as it were. Take a coal out of the fire and it soon loses its redness and goes back to the old coal colour. But you put it back into the embers again and it's reignited. So it's important that we stick together and we work as part of the body. In John 15 verse 5, Jesus again advises, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." You know, and we need to realize that. Without God's power, I would not be standing here today. I thank him for it. As over 50 odd years now that since I give my heart to the Lord. But I can honestly say that I have let him down on many occasions. I am guilty. But he has never once let me down. Never once disappointed me. He's answered all the prayers that were relevant. And I just thank him. He's a wonderful Savior. But it couldn't be any clearer than that. Once we accept Jesus as our Savior, we also need to realize that we need to remain in him. That we need to follow his directives and his ordinance if we hope to grow in our faith. Now, last Sunday was the first Sunday in the new year, 2026. And we came around the Lord's table and took communion. Why did we do that? Because we were left that ordinance. Jesus left it to that directive to his disciples. And if we are followers of Jesus, it also applies to us. And we can read Paul's account from it from 1 Corinthians 23-27. "For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord." Wow, strong, strong part of Scripture. But it's important that we recognize that Scripture is there for us to follow. Not to please us, it's to give us guidance. And it's important that we recognize that once we accept the Lord Jesus, that we just cannot put our feet up and relax and say, "Well, that's that job done." If you think that's the way about it, sorry, but your job is only starting. It's only just begun. We need to remember that along with discipleship comes responsibility. As Jesus told his disciples, as we can read from Matthew 28, 18 to 20, I'm sure you're well aware of this, the Great Commission. "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age.'" Wow. Now, I don't know about you, but I find that promise in the Great Commission comforting. You know, if you're following the Lord Jesus, you can rely on him to share the load and provide all that you will need to carry out the will of him. But you know, it's important. There are times we pick up tasks and we think, "Well, this is a good idea." But you know, if it's not a God idea, he may not bless it. So we need to be careful and examine what we commit our time to and make sure we're following his will and not just goodwill. I'm not saying that goodwill can't be God's will, because all God's will is good. You know, but some of our goodwill is what we think and not what he thinks. So we need to be careful about that. In Scripture, there are lots of God's promises, which are all yes and amen. But there is a caveat. They're yes and amen to those who believe. Yeah. What a gracious and loving God we have. He sent Jesus, his one and only Son, to die upon the cross of Calvary, to pay the price for our sin, and the sin of the whole world for that. But there is a caveat. If, and only if, they accept and believe in Jesus as their one and only Son. Now, Jesus died on the cross because it was the Father's will. Because the Father wanted to enable us to be able, through faith in him, to come back into fellowship with God the Father. But what a sacrifice. What a price to pay. You know, the Christian faith, it seems so idiotic to a lot of people, so simple, that they find it very difficult to come to terms with it. If you ask them to walk 30 miles a day for 60 years, a lot of them would do it. Put a lot of stumbling blocks in the way and they'll go over all the hurdles to do it. You know, but it's so simple. They just can't get their head around it. They won't take ownership of it. And they think, "Well, surely it can't be that easy, can it?" Well, let me tell you, it is that easy. If the Holy Spirit convicts you and touches in your heart to accept his Son, I think you should listen and do it. It's that simple. If you follow his guidance, it can be done. It can be achieved. And you know, Christianity is the only faith where God reaches down to all. Everyone in this world he reaches down to and offers at no cost forgiveness of their sins through belief and the acceptance of Jesus as their Savior. Yes, the price has already been paid in full on that cruel cross at Calvary by his Son. While other faiths in this world of ours require a price to be paid if you want to proceed, they have hurdles to overcome, ladders to climb, as it were, pilgrimages to be made. Well, you draw the line anywhere. Books to be sold, you know, to name but a few. But the Christian faith, really all it relies on is God. Not ourselves. We can't do anything. I could stand here and preach from now till kingdom come. But if the Holy Spirit doesn't work through me, through the message, it'd be to no avail, because nobody wants to listen to Jerry Kelly. They want to hear from the Lord. You know, we need to remember when we come to the Lord, as that lovely old hymn that hopefully Rob's going to finish with, "I surrender all," is what we need to do when we come to Jesus. Surrender all to him and to be led by him, because he will lead us along the right path. He won't lead us astray. Lots of things in this world will lead you. There are people who are being led every day with alcohol and drugs, but they're not going in the right direction. Not only is it doing them physical harm, it's doing them spiritual harm. You know, if you're listening to this message and you haven't accepted as yet God's Son as your Lord and Savior, I would urge you to seriously consider the alternative, which I, and I trust you too, will find frightening. Just what we read here from Revelations 20, 13 to 15. At the end, this is at the end of when the Lord comes. "The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire." You know, I trust and pray that that won't happen to you. And it won't happen to you if you decide to accept God's precious gift and have your name entered into the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, it's such a comforting thing to know that, I don't know, maybe it's me, as I'm getting older, I'm feeling I'm getting a bit closer. You know, not I'm more worthy, I wouldn't say more worthy, but I'm getting closer. And whenever you really got that peace in your heart, you know, you don't really give it much concern. You just hand it over to the Lord. "It's your will, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus, come," I say. And the sooner the better. But I'd rather him come before I die. It'd be nice to be lifted up into the clouds with our brothers and sisters, wouldn't it? But whatever way, I am sure that I am going to be there in that kingdom in the sky, singing with the choirs, listening to all of the gospel songs that have been written by saints. And it's surprising the power there is in those songs as well. If you listen to the words, rather than just take the music, actually listen to the words. If they're scriptural, they will stick with you. And you'll remember the scripture through those hymns and choruses, probably better than you will through verses from the Bible, because you've sung them so long. So I just commend the Lord to everyone who's listened to this. If you're with them, I say, praise the Lord. If you're not with them, get there. Get down on your knees and invite him to take control. And he will. He will bless you as he's blessed everyone that I know who's given their heart to him. So let's just come to him in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a gracious God and that you loved us so much that you sent your one and only Son to pay the price for our sins so that we could come under the covering of his righteousness, Lord, not of our own, but of his, before your throne of grace and seek your help with whatever is causing us pain or problems in our lives. And Lord, your word tells us we just got to knock and the door will be open. Seek and we will find. Ask and it will be given to us. But Lord, we must realize that you only give what is good for us. So we need to know your will and to dwell in it. So Lord, I just pray that you be with us all now. Keep us safe and just keep us cheery. And we ask you it all in and through the precious name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.